I was a proper bookworm as a kid. I mean, I don't like to brag, but I was quite an advanced reader. So at kind of infants, I was reading books a lot older than me. And I just always had my head in a book. Absolutely still love books. Don't get as much time, though, to read as much as I used to. There's something really powerful about a book. It can transport you to a whole different world. It can give you a break from reality, but it can also inspire you too. Well, let's talk to York author Fleur Rossdale, who's hoping to inspire the younger generation and started to write books for her granddaughters. Good morning, Fleur.
Good morning, Beck.
So tell me about some of the things that you've written, Fleur.
Well, it's actually all started during COVID because I thought that, you know, I might not survive it. And I was locked in, locked down. So I actually started looking at nature and seeing how magical it was. And I started writing about what there is to find out, and wrote it as fairy sprites protecting nature to actually transport my grandchildren through my moral values and see what a future could look like. And so each little fairy sprite glows with the white light of youth until they find their true colour to shine, and then they're allowed to join rainbows and add their colour. And the whole theme of the first book, which is called Taken by Storm, is uniting nations through the love of nature. And of course, I just actually moved to York, which I love, and I had been to see the Temple of the Four Winds at Castle Howard, and that was just amazing because I suddenly realised I could talk about the harsh realities of climate change through the four winds, because to inspire children to save the four winds from losing control of the weather through pollution. So that was the starting point.
What an inspiring idea, Fleur. That's incredible. And I bet your grandchildren think you're super cool. Because, you know.
Well, I don't know. They're just lovely, you know.
Oh,
but what's interesting is that when I was writing that first book, it was COP26. So I actually studied that, everything that happened there in Glasgow. And I had Titania, Queen of the Fairies, calling all fairy folk to the Temple of the Four Winds, and I actually recreated things from COP26, especially map most affected people, and I had desert sprites talking about the hot weather in the Middle East and how they can't work, they have to become nocturnal workers, and also ice sprites talking about the melting ice and the problems with walruses and polar bears not being able to get onto the ice.
I mean, I don't suppose you could read us a few lines, could you, Fleur, of something?
Oh, well, I could. I mean, the latest book is called The Farm, which is about regenerative farming, and it's also, but it's called The Farm, and it's the magic of dreams and the wonder of wishes. So I could, but there's one character in it, which maybe he's slightly me, but he's a wrinkled old goblin, but he's a beautiful person. And he's got wisdom, because he's older and he's got wisdom, and he passes his wisdom through. And so I'll read you this little bit. Okay, so it's actually speaking. Phew, I gasp, a lesson with Miss Twig is just the ticket. I haven't the foggiest how wishes actually work without using magic. Got any ideas, Cobblos? Cobblos is the goblin, okay. A few, he replies with a sideways glance. Most folk think dreams come true just by wishing hard, but dreams are like gardens. They need tending. First you plant the seed, then once they catch hold of the idea and believe in it, they will make it their own. But if they water the dreams with doubt, it wilts. He pauses, looking me in the eye. But if they nourish dreams with courage and determination, it blossoms into a wish that can grow stronger than they ever imagined. I see, I say softly, thinking it over. Wishes are empty dreams until someone acts upon them, he remarks as an afterthought. But there's a danger. If a dream is blindly chased, it can become an obsession. That's when people stop seeing clearly or notice unexpected paths they could take. A wish provides a direction, but remaining open allows the flexibility to seize opportunities. That's how true magic happens.
Oh, Fleur, thank you for sharing that with us. Hey, that's lovely. Does it feel weird reading your own things out loud?
Not really. I do it all the time.
I mean, why is the subject matter so important to you, Fleur?
Well, my second book, The Journey, was I always interview leaders in their field, specialists in their fields. For instance, the first book I talked to Merlin Sheldrake about how trees communicate through the mycelium, through the roots, their roots. And then the Guardian newspaper did an article, which I quote actually in the second book, the Journey, that explains that they've actually taken the vibrations from the trees, and they have a vocabulary that match 50 of our words. So that's all fascinating. So you'd think this is all magic, and no, not true, but it's all true. All my books are true, but there's the magical element. And when I have been interviewing professors like Professor Stephen Salter, who's now sadly died, about his inventions to think about cooling the planet, I've realized and been educated that time is short and we need to act. So what I did was make my first book into a play, because though children, it's really for age 6 to 12, but I want older children to read my books. And then I thought I'd do a play so that they can actually perform it to audiences and let the 6 performers talk to the audiences. So everybody's in this together. We are united through a love of nature, and we are humanity, and we need to remember that we are part of nature and should not be working against it.
You've set up some school awards, haven't you, Fleur? What can you tell me about that?
Well, yes, it's all things that in life I think have a sort of organic way of growing. And when I started thinking about doing this play, then I thought, well, you know, actually 2 schools in Kenya said they would love to do my play, and also they'd like to fundraise for some of the projects that I write about in the farm, because one of the projects is for it's Just Dig It, one of the projects I write about, which is do incredible work in Africa, and also communities evergreening Africa, which is called Chega. So I started doing this, the idea of this awards, and we're doing pilot the September term, the new academic year. We have a school, 2 schools in Kenya, potentially a school in Peru, a school in Brussels, a school in the Netherlands, but I don't have a school in Britain, and I'm hoping to find a school in York. It would be so nice. It's a kind of pilot, and they have their own awards in the schools, and then the winners come and to Brussels to meet, to network globally with, you know, impact investors, philanthropists, all sorts of people. It opens huge opportunities for environmental leaders, new environmental leaders, which is what I'm hoping to spawn through my work.